Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC, New York Public Radio, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. This podcast is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC podcasts are supported by Holy Name Hospital in Teaneck, New Jersey, providing comprehensive centers in cardiovascular services, interventional radiology, and cancer care. More information at www.holyname.org.
This is an encore edition of Soundcheck.
Sometimes I wonder, who am I? The world seeming to pass me by. A younger man, now getting old, I have to wonder what the rest of life will hold. I hold a mirror to my face. There are some lines that I could trace to memories of loving you. A passion that breaks reason into I have to think.
You're listening to Soundcheck at 93.9 WNYC and online at WNYC.org. I'm John Schaefer. He may be asking who he is, but this voice could only belong to one man. Lou Reed has been one of the most distinctive voices in American music for almost 40 years, but these days he's using a camera to portray the New York landscape that he's celebrated for so many years in song. Lou Reed, the photographer, has two concurrent photo exhibitions opening later this week here in Manhattan, and a new book of photographs called Lou Reed's New York, due out next month. And all of that brings Lou Reed here to our Soundcheck studios. And Lou, first of all, welcome.
Thank you, John.
This song, Who Am I, this is from a project you did based on Edgar Allan Poe with Robert Wilson. So you've done, obviously, music, theater, film. Why get involved in still photography?
I've been doing photography. You know, it's funny, like when you said 40 years of...
Sorry about that.
It's amazing to me, you know, it's as amazing to me as it is to anyone, because it seems like such a really short time. You know, sometimes you say 40, how did that happen? It was just yesterday was the Velvet Underground, and all of a sudden here I am with you. And with the photography, it's also a situation of, I've been doing it for what seems like a short time, but that short time is about 15, between 15, I don't know, plus years. It's really strange. You know, but I did it because most people in my situation, by that I mean people who tour, are constantly, if you have any luck at all, exposed to sights and staying in places where you have a view or something, or someone wants to meet you, and so you go to this really place most people don't have access to. And the natural question is, I really wish I'd had a camera for this. And you, after a while, it sounds stupid to keep saying it. So on the next trip to Japan, you load up, you know, with the booklet that's in Japanese and not English.
But the thing is, you know, I mean, there are, I've seen plenty of other musicians who've, you know, done that sort of on the road, you know, documenting backstage, the places that they've gone. Your photographs.
Hazleton.
Well, I mean, they're New York. You know, they are the city that has been at the heart of your music for all these years.
I was, when Laurie and I were in Africa.
Laurie Anderson. Mm-hmm.
Yes, who says hello, by the way. She's in Mexico doing a benefit, Holocaust benefit. Mm-hmm. So, but I'm here with you.
Right.
And
I should mention that the book is dedicated to Laurie, the newest.
Everything is actually dedicated to Laurie, but yes, the book is. And it just arrived hot off the presses from Germany. I'd give anything to show it to her. But I lost my train of thought now.
Let's see. Let me back up a little bit.
The Skies of Africa, which is a good movie title. But anyway, you know, when
I didn't realize that was the train you were on. I was off in another direction. Yeah, okay. Skies of Africa.
I said when Laurie and I were in Africa on a safari and the sky is beyond belief. And fast forward then in Cork, in Ireland, the sky there and the sea and all of this. And then the west side of New York. And they're building this park, Hudson State Park.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're somebody who's been on the west side most of your adult life, watching this change take place and then noticing the sky again and the water. And I was thinking, this is so beautiful. We're really an island. But most of us never get a chance. Even when you're driving, you know, you go over the bridge, but you don't think of it as an island, or I don't. It's just there's some water there and you have to pay a toll.
Right.
You know, and oh boy, you know, look at that view. And that's the end of it. But if you're interested in photography, you start saying, look at that view. Why aren't I taking a picture of that? And then every night, every morning, when there's that natural light that hits that people, photographers, kill for, and there it is every single day. So every single day for 3 years, I've been taking these particular pictures.
Mm-hmm. So New York City, you know, is sort of the raw material you're working with. I guess one of the striking things about what you do in both music and photography, both of those are attempts to sort of capture something ephemeral, you know. With music, it's you know, sound waves, which are there and then gone, and with camera, you know, with the camera,
you know, it's funny,
the passage of light and time.
It's very funny you're saying that. I was actually talking about this with a friend the other day about how odd music was that you couldn't hold it. You can't see it. It's this thing you feel and hear. And then with photography, that's just optical energy. The other one's oral energy, and this is optical energy. You look at something, and it registers with you in a certain way. It's so odd. It only works because we're human. And that's the connecting dot between the two tributaries of that energy source, put it that way. But sound, it's amazing. I mean, you or I might say something that could strike someone and have an emotional response out of them, and that particular idea set to music, and you could call it a song or whatever you want to call it. And then people go and they listen to it. Listen to what? It makes, you know, thinking about it, listen to what? If you were in China, you would be saying, that's horrible. I don't understand that.
Yeah.
And we branch out now to Tibetan music, meditation music, and I want to do rock meditation music, if you remember.
I do remember that you were working on something, kind of an electronic, a long kind of ambient sounding piece.
It was two pieces of music. One was called meditation music, and that was to do meditation to or do Tai Chi to, slow form.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one was energy music, and that was for the more advanced people who could do more energetic forms. And it dawned on me that if you had heavy metal and you could get headbangers and all of this and mosh pit reactions, what if you getting energy from the music, what if you directed it a little bit more to the left and used it to get energy to perform certain sets in martial arts? Wouldn't that be something? Because usually these guys are just using old Chinese music or some kind of disco, mm-hmm. like they have for ice skaters.
Right.
And it's so boring. I mean, they ought to be able to do better than that, but they haven't because no one's made music specifically for that application. So there was a big void. So and I went because I said, for myself, because I use this music for myself in my own practice, and then people started saying, can I borrow that?
Hmm.
And that's when I ended up at the seminar with you, the symposium.
At Carnegie Hall, yeah.
You know, with all those great people like Natalie Merchant and Razda and all them. And you notice he knew what it was right off.
Yep.
So it was interesting because people started saying to me, you know, in Europe, they're much more receptive to that than here. you should maybe think about putting this out, not just having it sit amongst you and three other people.
You mean the idea that music can have a purpose, a utility, without being for utilitarian?
For this particular application.
Yeah. We're speaking with Lou Reed, the musician and photographer, and actually we have a link, Lou, to your photos on the soundcheck page of our website at WNYC.org. Let me ask you about, first let me ask a sort of a broader question about the photos. Your songs are heavily populated. Your photos, much less so. Very rare, aside from the self-portraits, which are mostly just your eyes, very rare to actually see a recognizable figure in these photos, it seems.
There aren't any.
There's one person in an alleyway or
yes,
something.
Well, on a street near, what do they call that? High Line.
Right, near the High Line on the west side, yeah.
I bet you could probably guess who that person is, but it's at a distance. The real thing is, I was looking at beautiful things in the city that you don't have to sit and try to relax them. Or I'm not going to use you for something, all these things. This was all about natural light, mm-hmm. trying to do things in natural light in these sites that are available to all of us. All New Yorkers can go look at this anytime they want. You certainly don't need me. But it was fun for me to try to capture it because for me, looking through the camera is like being in a movie theater. Mm-hmm. And when you edit it a certain way, you can bring things out a bit more. We're so used to walking right past everything because we have to. I mean, usually we're not looking at what's beautiful because you'll get run over.
Well, one really beautiful shot in the book and in the exhibition called Lou Reed's New York is the shot called Intelligent Design, which is like those what are they called, those pillars,
the pylons
thank you, that support the piers out on the west side.
And those are the pylons that are going to be removed. You know, they're they've been removing them slowly and making these long an inlet kind of thing like they have in Paris sometimes where you can walk all the way out. It's so beautiful.
So these pylons will be gone.
Oh, they will be gone. And probably for a lot of people, the memories of everything that went along with it. You know, it's the meat market, and there's a kind of strange contradiction going on there now as they make buildings that have penthouses for $12 or $13 million, and then you have the butcher shops. Right. And a lot of people, myself included, really think enough's enough, like no more. Don't you know, make it any cleaner. It's kind of nice right now, the expensive penthouse with, you know, pig blood. So it works out okay.
Now, is that intelligent design, or did you have something else in mind when you titled that photo?
I did have something else in mind. Of course, I
thought you might. Although it is a kind of an abstract photograph, I mean, you know, you sense that maybe there's a pattern there, but it's just pylons coming out of the water.
It's also, though, that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
It's the thing that's so great is I fell in love with a certain kind of lens when I was using film, and I was waiting a very long time for the digital equivalent to come out. And finally, after a lot of research, and a friend of mine at one of these camera places got in touch with me, said, come in now. So I came in, they showed me this thing, and there it was, the digital equivalent. That's what's taking that picture.
Mm-hmm.
That's what gives you that wide angle without distortion, or a thing called vignetting on the side where it gets a little black and all this.
Right, and things get stretched. And
yeah.
So
I was, needless to say, thrilled.
Yeah. Well, before I want to follow up on the whole analog-digital thing because it goes back to your music too. But the title Intelligent Design, is this a political, however abstract the photo is there something political in the the statement being made by affixing that title to that photo?
I thought it was hilarious.
Okay.
You know, looking at looking at the sky, looking at the pylons, looking over across at Jersey, looking at the water there and everything else you see, intelligent design. Mm-hmm. That's intelligent design.
We are speaking with Lou Reed on Soundcheck. You mentioned using film, waiting for the digital equivalent. You've gone through the whole analog to digital thing already with your music.
Big advantage for me. Mm-hmm. I had a major league advantage because this already went down in music. You see what's happened. We're at the beginning of the... This is like the invention of the airplane or something. It's that big a thing. It's the whole thing is... We're at the very beginning of the biggest change ever. It's mm-hmm. really fantastic. And mourning the loss of film or tape is not the point of all this. They're two different things. However, the digital makes it possible for everybody, anywhere, to go right out and make some music mm-hmm. or take a picture or do this or do that. All this, all these... groups that can record now with or without a computer digitally, just sit there and play. You couldn't do that before.
Well, and even for you, I mean, some of the great old, I mean, you mentioned how 40 years seems to have rushed by, that just yesterday was Velvet Underground. In that CD compilation that we were listening to at the beginning of the set, and maybe we can dip into some of it now, it's amazing how these old analog recordings from Velvet Underground, mid-1960s, how great they sound 40 years later. You've digitally remastered them. And
well, I went in because at the beginning, when they were doing this, they forget, like with analog recordings, past a certain amount of time on either side of vinyl, if it was longer than, say, 18 minutes, you had to cut the bass back. And when they made a, quote, digital copy of this, they were trying to do the same thing. Like, why? That doesn't apply to CDs. Mm-hmm. And as you'd be amazed, I'm amazed, how much information actually is on your wretched little 16-bit CD if you have a real playback system that's serious. So I went back in and begged these guys, and they went along with me. I said, please let me remaster this for the... contemporary technology, mm-hmm. you know. It's I know you have a CD out, but it sounds like what everybody hates about CDs, and it doesn't have to.
Well, let's hear a little bit of "I'm Waiting for the Man" from Velvet Underground. My guest is Lou Reed, and this is from the CD compilation called, appropriately, "New York Man." From Velvet Underground and featuring my guest Lou Reed. This is from a remastered CD compilation called New York Man. So from the analog to the digital, you've made the move in music, and now with the photographs, I mean, your first book of photography was that analog? That was film?
That was film. What I would call, yeah, it's, you get into the habit, analog film.
Yeah.
And when you see what's going on in music, and anticipate what's going to go on in music. It's digital, 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 for sure. And in movies, it's going to become that too. Mm-hmm. You know, they won't have projectors. They're going to stop filming things. It'll be some high-def something or other. And like the movie Collateral, for instance. Some of those beautiful shots in Collateral. You know the movie?
I know of it, but I haven't seen it.
Mm-hmm. Very beautiful shots of L.A. At night, and the color of that, I knew that color from the things I'm playing around with. Digital gives you access. It's like God landed and said, tell you what.
Yeah.
I'm taking film away. But in exchange, I'm going to give you three new colors. What do you think, guy? Okay. Three new colors. Michelangelo would be leaping up and down.
Yeah. Now, one of the things that digital allows you to do, both in music and apparently in photography, is to post-produce what you've originally done. You know, you can take a digital recording, and with a computer, you can do, I mean, just
well,
what
with the
hip-hop
Raven,
guys are doing.
Well, with the Raven, you know, we could possibly have done the Raven album without digital editing. Mm-hmm. We would have been there for 4 years or something, because you go, boop, and you know what they call slow tools, and you go like that, and it's done. With a razor blade, it's unthinkable.
Yeah.
It's unthinkable to have gone through that. Now, I just want to mention that these photos have not been, the colors are not the result of Photoshop. These are the colors that are actually there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's nice is you could just go there and look for yourself. Every night is the light show, and every morning you get another one.
Well, the question I wanted to ask was specifically about your photo called Jackhammer? Sledgehammer?
Yeah,
Jackhammer.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, a series of, it looks like lights that have been...
It is light.
Okay.
It's light, but it's not Photoshop light.
Okay, so there's no computer being used.
Oh, no. Well, there's a computer being used to look at it.
Okay.
You know, unless, you know...
Within the digital camera, okay.
But it's not being caused by that.
Mm-hmm.
That's New York City light... away from the river. You know, so it's like, to me, it's like light animals. It's really, really, really fun. That's having fun with the camera, trying to capture light, not just static light, moving light.
Right. So again, the sort of image of digital as being a kind of a static thing.
No.
That's the human agency at work. There.
No, it's as static as the person using it.
Yeah. Well, we are speaking with Lou Reed. His book of photography is just...
literally off the boat, as they say.
It's called Lou Reed's New York, which
but
is
But if
also...
it had to go through the security you guys have downstairs, I'm amazed it even got upstairs.
We are important people here.
Yeah. They're so sweet downstairs. You know, I came in with a little dog, and they said, "Do you have the papers for this dog?" I said... She's a very important dog, but I actually didn't bring her passport and papers with her.
Oh,
I said, okay, guy, out. That's it.
Lou Reed, a real pleasure having you here. Congratulations, and look forward to hearing more music next time.
Well, I hope to put out my meditation Tai Chi tape. And,
which you promised me months ago, and I still haven't seen yet, mister. So,
you know, now I have it. And
all right.
And if you'd be gracious enough to have me back up, love to play it for you.
All right. Lou Reed, my guest on Soundcheck.
Take a walk on the wild side. All right. Ha.
Coming up next on Soundcheck, a look at how the arts are shaping the rebuilding efforts in New Orleans. And then later today, a visit with electronic music pioneer Gershon Kingsley.
Then I guess she had to crash. Valium would have helped that bash. I said, hey, babe, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey, honey, take a walk on the wild side. And the colored girls say, doot, 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 doot.
You're listening to an encore edition of Soundcheck. Thanks for listening to Soundcheck from WNYC, New York Public Radio. Every day we dig into what's happening in music, and you can hear everything we do and check out our other podcasts at WNYC.org or on iTunes. All of this is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.